Good morning, Rapa. I'm Pastor Jonathan. It is great to be with you today as we continue our series called Influencers, looking at voices that have shaped our faith journeys as we follow after Jesus' way of love. And it's important that I put that like caveat, faith journey, on our influencer list, or else my list would include Luke Skywalker and Bo Jackson and Beyonce. Kathy's list would somehow include Bevo and Vince Young, I'm sure, too. Now you really want to hear that series, don't you? Maybe next year we'll do that one. But today's influencer understood that life isn't supposed to be this influencer's highlight reel. It's a beautifully messy journey, wrestling with doubt, celebrating questions, discovering that God is bigger than the boxes that we were handed. So she helped so many of us see from both sides now and to understand what it is that we know and what we humbly say we really don't understand at all. But even more than that, in the midst of that journey, too, as we heard from her book, to know a little bit more about what God is like. A God of love, a God of justice, a God of welcome, a God who loves all of us and each of us and all of each of us, real life included. Her name was Rachel Held Evans, and for many of us in this room, she was a lifeline on our journey, a courageous voice for a generation that's learning to hold faith and doubt with the same open hands while we hold our hearts out to a world with love. Rachel Held Evans was born in 1981, and so she may be the youngest of our influencers. She grew up in the evangelical South, homeschooled in a conservative Christian household with Tennessee roots. And for a while, she lived out that script that she was handed. But along the way, she had this dangerously powerful gift of asking questions, real questions, hard questions, the kind that makes gatekeepers nervous, but the kinds that lead us deeper. I've been thinking of this quote this week, especially in preparation for this sermon. Too often, we enjoy the comfort of opinion without the discomfort of thought. Rachel chose the discomfort over the comfort of opinion. And she followed her questions and thoughts, those uncomfortable sometimes, messy, but holy questions, deeper toward a God who is holy love. Those questions led her on a journey that she called evolving, evolving from certainty to curiosity, from exclusion to inclusion, from a faith that demanded conformity to one that embraced complexity. She wrote books like A Year of Biblical Womanhood or Searching for Sunday or Inspired, powerful books in my life. Along the way, she championed women's equality, LGBTQ inclusion, racial justice. And her journey was not away from Christianity, even as she wrestled with it, but deeper into the heart of it all. She wrote, "I'm not looking for a faith that answers every question, but one that inspires me to live better, even when I don't have all the answers." She described her journey toward that life that is better as deconstruction and reconstruction. As we've shared in here before, she famously said, "Healthy deconstruction is like the demolition stage of remodel, right? It's necessary to rebuilding, but it's not the end game." For any of you who've lived in the dusty periods, right, you know it's not quite where we stop. And that's what made Rachel so life-giving. She did the demo work, but she never stopped on demo day. Right? Chip Gaines got to do his work, and he's been doing some work this week. I'm proud of him. But Joanna also needs to come in and bring it all back together. In the same way, Rachel had a sledgehammer in one hand and shiplap in the other. She would tear out what wasn't rooted in love, but she would always work to build back better than she found it. And at the center of it all was Jesus. even when she questioned everything else, even when she criticized harmful theology, even when she advocated for the people that the church was rejecting, she followed Jesus and his love and his way as her North Star. And so today, I want to explore a little bit of what Rachel taught us about reimagining faith, about how to hold on to God when what we were given no longer holds together. And to do that, I want to look at a strange story in the Bible that Rachel loved. She always loved the strange stories and found the heart of them all. And this is the story of Jacob wrestling with God. In Genesis 32, we find Jacob, this seminal character in the Hebrew scriptures, alone by the Jabbok River. He's facing his past, literally. Tomorrow, he'll meet his brother Esau, who he kind of stabbed in the back a little bit earlier. And on this night, it's just Jacob in the dark by the waters, wrestling with his past and everything that he's been given and himself. So it says this. It says, so Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. That's all the explanation we get, just wrestling with something. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And the man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And the man said to him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. I love that this is just a very man interaction. They don't actually learn each other's name till like after the fight is over. The man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, one who wrestles with God, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. This is the story at the heart of our faith. This was Jacob's story, Israel's story. This is Rachel's story. And for many of us, this is our story too. Wrestling amidst this journey in the dark of it all with something sacred and dangerous and necessary. Wrestling with questions that would leave us limping in some ways, but holding on in faith, holding on to the promise that there must be love at the heart of this, and not letting go until we've found the blessing of love at the heart. Rachel understood that Jacob didn't wrestle with God because he had weak faith. He wrestled because his faith was strong enough to demand the blessings of goodness and justice and love at the heart of it all. He wouldn't settle for the past or with inherited opinion. He needed to encounter God for himself, even if it meant wrestling all night long. And Rachel, through her life, did that work of wrestling, but more importantly, holding on and claiming love amidst it all. She wasn't raised to wrestle. She grew up, like many of us, in a faith culture that treated doubt like a contagious disease, right? Like chickenpox, something you've got to cure before it infects others around you. Questions were dangerous. Wrestling was rebellion. Good Christians were supposed to accept what they've been told and never rock the boat and never listen to hard rock music along the way. It's secret, right? But Rachel looked at Scripture and she saw something different. She saw Abraham arguing with God. She saw Moses questioning God's methods. She saw Hagar claiming her name. She saw Job demanding answers. She saw Jesus himself from the cross crying out in the poetry of the Psalms, my God, why have you forsaken me? And she wrote this that helped us see this in new ways. She said, Scripture is not a rule book, but a library, a collection of letters and laws and stories and songs and prophecies and proverbs written across centuries by people in different contexts wrestling with the universal questions of what it means to be human and what it means to be loved by God. She showed us that Scripture not only can handle our questions, our doubts, our wrestling, but it's got its own as well. But as we pursue the love at the heart of it all, it can also help us wrestle with and in some way understand more deeply the heart of it all, what it means to be loved and to love others in the same way. And so Rachel gave an entire generation of Christians, the one in which I stand and many of you do as well, something precious: permission. Permission to doubt, permission to question, permission to wrestle with God and come away, rather than broken, blessed by the journey. Rachel's faith journey mirrored what so many of us have experienced. You know, maybe you, along the way, love God and faith, but you were also handed a theology that was a little too small and rigid and afraid and closed. And then life happened. You met folks that didn't fit the categories you'd been given. You realized that you do like hard rock as well. You learned things that challenged what you'd been taught. You realized that when Jesus turned water into wine, it was actual wine, right? You experienced God in ways that theology couldn't contain. And you found yourself asking, what if? What if some of this isn't it at all? What if we've been settling for the comfort of opinion without journeying through the discomfort of thought? And for her, that's where deconstruction began. Not with losing faith, but with loving God enough to begin to understand that God is bigger than our boxes, and following faith in the God of love wherever it leads. She said, I've learned that faith isn't about having it all figured out. It's about showing up and trying to love God and people, even when, especially when, it's complicated. Deconstruction wasn't about tearing everything down and walking away. It was about examining what she'd inherited and keeping what bore fruit and letting go of what caused harm. Demo out the parts that aren't working so you can build something better. And like every great demo, it usually involves putting a big table at the center of it all. Right? She deconstructed theology that silenced women and followed instead the Jesus who called Mary Magdalene his apostle. She deconstructed biblical interpretation that condemned her LGBTQ siblings and friends and reconstructed it around a God who created humans in infinite diversity and called us very good. She deconstructed nationalism wrapped in the flag of Christianity and reconstructed it around Jesus who welcomed foreigners and refugees, and a Jesus who wasn't American either. All right. What Rachel reconstructed was a faith that was centered on love, radical, expansive, inclusive love, and she called it the wide table, a vision of God's kingdom where there's room for everyone, where no one has to shrink themselves to belong. When I read Rachel's vision of the wide table, I couldn't help think about our own vision and our vision and mission statement here at Arapahoe United Methodist Church. Through discerning and seeking after God together, years ago, we wrote this vision down. It says, we seek to be a creative, constructive, forward-leaning, committed Christian community, opening the door wide for all to experience the healing, reconciling love of God. Wow. It could have been written by Rachel herself, I think. Creative in our approach to living faith, constructive in rebuilding something good, forward-leaning in our willingness to grow and change, and committed to opening the door wide for everyone to experience God's healing, reconciling love as we follow the way of Christ together. This wasn't theological openness for its own sake. This was Rachel taking Jesus seriously when he said, the greatest commandments, the things on which it all hangs, are loving God and loving our neighbor as we're learning to love ourselves. Rachel understood that making space for others doesn't threaten our own faith, it strengthens it. It's not a journey away from it, but deeper into the heart of it all. And so she wrote this of that wide table. She said, this is what God's kingdom looks like. A bunch of outcasts and oddballs. Y'all are all normal though, don't worry, that's not you, that's me. bunch of outcasts and oddballs gathered at a table, not because they're rich or worthy or good, but because they're hungry, because they said yes, and there's always room for more. When the table gets wider, there's room for everyone, us included. One of the ways that Rachel widened my lens was her especially important prophetic voice speaking out in public witness over the last decade. In our world, while many white evangelicals were celebrating conquering victories, Rachel spent the last decade mourning what she saw as a moral crisis. She called that season in our world an apocalyptic event. Not apocalyptic like the end of things, but the meaning of the original Greek word for apocalypse means an uncovering, a revealing, a kind of pulling the curtain back moment, revealing something about the heart of American Christianity, and for her, the heart of herself as well. And she wrote this. She said, "It uncovered or revealed divides and contours in the American social landscape many of us did not want to face, deep rifts regarding race, religion, nationalism, gender, and fear. It was certainly," this is Rachel, not just looking outward, but looking inward always. She says, "It was certainly apocalyptic for me in the way that it exposed, to my shame, my reluctance to resist certain injustices in this country until the resistance movement fit more conveniently with my political persuasions." I could confess that myself as well. She said, "For too long, the white American church has chosen the promise of power over prophetic voice. We have allied ourselves with the empire, and rather than singing songs of hopeful defiance with the exiles, created more of them." And then she finishes, "The gospel isn't a building block for nationalism. It's a wrecking ball against every system of oppression, including ones we benefit from." Whew. How I needed that, and how I need that every day. For Rachel, faith calls us to the work of deconstruction and reconstruction, yes, but not just in our private lives. It also calls us to that work publicly, for the common good, for our neighbor as ourselves, for the good of the wider table as well. Rachel's voice has been so important to me in my journey, and I'm grateful for her influence in my life every day. For those of you who may not know about Rachel Held Evans, you might have noticed that I speak about her in past tense. Sadly, Rachel passed away unexpectedly in 2019 at just 37 years old, and honestly, I miss her, and I miss her voice. There's often times when I'm preparing a sermon where I'm like, what did Rachel think about this? And I'm glad that we have her writings and her influence that continues. At every time someone finds the courage to ask hard questions, every time a pastor stands up for the excluded, every time a Christ follower chooses love over fear, I think Rachel's spirit lives on and continues that work of evolving toward love at the center. And I think for us as Arapaho, I think if she were speaking to us, she would have so much to say. But at the heart of it all, she would call us to live courageously into that God-given vision, to be that creative, constructive, forward-leaning community that's committed to the way of Christ toward opening the door for all to experience the healing and reconciling love that God is. And she would invite us to remember the things that she lifted up as witness in her life. That doubt is not the opposite of faith. Certainty is. Creative, constructive faith must be humble and curious and open-handed, welcoming every opportunity, wherever it comes from, to listen and learn, grow and discover God in ourselves anew. And she would remind us that deconstruction is important, and so is reconstruction. a faith that is strong enough to wrestle with God is a faith that is strong enough to change the world. But we change it not by leaving it on demo day, but by building back something better. Build it on love. Build it on justice. And she would remind us that the table is wider than we think. Even on those days when I think it is wide, God's love challenges me by being bigger than my categories, more inclusive than my comfort zones. When we open the door, we discover that God's love is wide enough for everyone, ourselves included. And she would remind us that following Jesus is more important than defending Christianity. Sometimes following Christ means being willing to leave the version of Christianity that we inherited and follow Christ toward those that the church is overlooking. Be forward-leaning, she would say. Lean toward the future that God is creating and help create it. And then she would remind us as we look around this room and beyond that healing and reconciliation happen in community. Everywhere she went, she built networks of support, communities of belonging, spaces where people could wrestle together. We too must do that work, being a community committed to walking together through the questions, through the doubts, through the reconstruction and deconstruction, and toward the celebration, the heart of it all, as a community of life and love and liberation, of justice and joy and peace. Friends, our world today calls us evermore to be a community of the kind of faith that Rachel modeled, a faith that's willing to wrestle, willing to ask hard questions, willing to choose love even when it costs, willing to stand up for what is right and good and just and follow the way of Jesus wherever it leads. And on that journey, Rachel showed us that we don't have to choose between faith and integrity, between belief and belonging as your true self, between following Jesus and welcoming everyone to the wide, wild table of grace. In fact, rather than having to choose, she showed us that those things are one and the same. And so that's why we gather here in the midst of it all each week. Not because we have all the answers, not because I have all the answers. I hope you're not waiting for that. But because we believe that asking better questions together will lead us forward toward love. Humbly, open-handed, curious, and seeking toward being that creative, constructive, forward-leaning community where God's healing and reconciling love is wide enough for everyone. Like Jacob, we may walk away from our journey of faith with a little limp. We may carry the marks of our struggle for the rest of our lives, but we also walk away blessed. Blessed with a faith that is truly our own. Blessed with a God who's bigger than our boxes. Blessed with a love that can change the world because it's changing us first. Because faith isn't about having it all figured out. Faith is about showing up and trying to love God and love people, even when, especially when, it's complicated. And that, friends, is a faith worth wrestling for. That's a blessing worth limping toward. That's a gospel worth following. And that's a community worth building together. And so may we be that kind of a community in our time and in our generation. Thanks be to God for the influence of Rachel Held Evans. Amen.